Hello and welcome to Tea Time with Tara. I'm your host Tara, and today I have a very special treat for you. It is another crossover episode of the Out Is Through podcast with my dear friend Kristen and Tea Time. So, we are both very passionate about relationships and personal growth, and decided that since we were brewing the same types of projects, that we would team up and pour it into this beautiful blend of an episode that you are going to check out. So buckle up, because we are about to embark on a very personal journey. And we're back with another crossover.
A less drunk one this time.
Yes, definitely. Are you drinking water?
I'm drinking water. I'm hydrating. I'm not getting a buzz on. We are not going to go on 95 million connecting flights tonight.
We have very thorough notes. We are much more prepared.
Yeah.
I'm double fisting. I have hot cocoa and I have water. So, all right. So we're just going to jump right in to the talking about the attachment styles. And we're going to start with the anxious, preoccupied attachment style. So if you align with this style, you might find yourself craving closeness, always looking for signs of rejection or abandonment. You're a person who triple checks if your partner still loves you, because you are so anxious about your relationships.
Mm-hmm. This shows up a lot in sessions. Like, this is, I feel like, the most common as far as people who are heavily focusing on their relationships in therapy with me.
We'll get into why that might be.
Yeah. Or when I'm the second therapist for my friends. Yeah. I froze. That looks weird. So this is somebody who is just in this constant cycle, ruminating, trying to predict, explain their partner's behavior, overanalyzing every single nuance, every single change of tone, every single text exchange. Oh, what do you think they meant by X, Y, and Z? And
I don't relate to that at all.
No, not remotely you.
That's definitely me. This is my attachment style.
Yes.
Again, we can kind of talk about it, but I have moved away from anxious and I'm working on.
Yeah. Well, that is, and this is spoiler alert for later. That is something that is entirely possible.
Yes.
To do. It's obviously super helpful to have a partner who helps with the reassurance in that department, who can create that sense of emotional safety and security for you in your relationship dynamic. That's how I healed mine too, which is not anxious. I am the fearful avoidant / disorganized type, which is a lovely combo of all of them. I'm jumping ahead.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Fun fact, I was talking about this with a client who kind of thought she was anxious, but I'm like, no, that sounds like some shit that I would do.
Yeah.
And it is, so we looked it up to like try to find resources for her, and it's like, yeah, this is the like one of the worst ones you can have. This is like the hardest thing to heal from. And I'm like, well, shit, I don't want to tell her that.
Right. That's not helpful.
And it's like, but you can, I'm proof.
Yes.
If I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
And so I'm a hot mess with it too. Like, just because I'm a therapist, it does not mean shit. Because you're attached
to therapists. Therapists. All right. So we're gonna jump right into a imaginary scenario, an imaginary scenario, where so there's a couple. We'll call them Sarah and Liam. Sarah has her own internal alarm system that goes off whenever Liam doesn't text back right away. So immediately she jumps to thinking that he's losing interest or that he's with somebody else, and she needs constant reassurance from him. And so it becomes a very exhausting dynamic. So that is a classic example of the anxious type.
Mm-hmm. Sarah loves me as a therapist too. I have a lot of Sarahs.
It's anxious preoccupied. And do you want to talk about how this might show up in session? So like if I were Sarah, because I am Tara, but
yeah.
I am Sarah in this scenario. I have historically been that.
So a little bit, I guess I jumped ahead in the notes a little bit. So kind of like the obsessive, like, rumination on, okay, well, I don't know what he meant by this, and I think maybe he's mad at me, and, you know, I'm worried he's talking to other girls. Like, I'm worried that when he's not texting me back quickly enough, it's because he's talking to other people. Or there's this girl who always flirts with him, and that makes me really uncomfortable, even though he said there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
And these are, I mean, a lot of it is repetition too with what they're doing, so it actually is not that much heavy lifting for me as the therapist in that scenario, because a lot of it is just kind of like letting them vent all that anxiety out,
yeah,
before redirecting. So, and doing all of that cognitive reframing
for me, I don't necessarily, or historically wouldn't necessarily go right to like, oh, I'm being cheated on, but I would definitely go to the headspace of like, oh, they don't really like me, or they're not really interested, or they're losing interest. Mm-hmm. And so that's always where my head would go. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know it's basically the same concept of like kind of helping to reframe, but I mean, realistically, it's hard to have a different perspective if you don't have a different perspective. And so, and it's really helpful to talk to a therapist or a coach to help you kind of think outside of that mindset.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so the other thing too, like that kind of, that anxiety, that thought spiral of like they're losing interest, like is not necessarily exclusive to anxious preoccupied type. Mm-hmm. Because us fearful avoidant types will do that too, but I think the difference is in how we respond to that. So for you as the anxious type, like you're self-identifying as the anxious type, mm-hmm. how do you respond when that thought pops in your head, like this person's losing interest?
I mean,
and we'll, like, compare and contrast our responses. I feel like,
yeah, I mean, I used to be like, oh, I have to pursue them. Like I have to, it almost became like a chase. Like I had to like make it right and make sure everything was okay. And it was very, I don't want to say it was aggressive, but it was kind of aggressive. Like it was kind of a lot. It's a lot. It can be a mm-hmm. lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like constantly that constant asking for reassurance. Are we okay? Yeah. Stuff like always, do you love me, are we okay, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. See, and for fearful avoidant, like I'm having all of those same thoughts, but that shit's happening behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am cool, calm, and collected on the surface. You are not going to see my facade crack. You are going to have no fucking idea when I come out sideways at you later. You're going to be really blindsided by it and be like, where the fuck did that come from? And some of the things that I am potentially going to do is like kind of, you know, in my unhealed, like not having yet moved to a more secure place pattern, mm-hmm. of course, kind of a little bit of that game playing, like, okay, well, this motherfucker didn't text me back for 3 hours, so I'm gonna make them wait 4.
Yeah.
Or I'm not gonna text their ass till tomorrow and I'll see if they follow up. And then I'll make them wait some more.
I was gonna say that's the next one, but it's not. All right, so we're jumping.
It's not
ahead.
The next one. I'm just like,
oh no, my ring.
But it's a fun compare and contrast though, because there are so many kind of overlaps.
Not only that, but and I guess we're gonna talk about this too later on, how anxiously attached people and avoidant attached people usually end up in relationships. because of, and it creates this push-pull dynamic. So first, we'll go back and just kind of wrap this up, that basically there are ways to deal with it, which we just went over, and you do have every right to express your feelings in a relationship.
And it's healthier than my shit, by the way, to express those feelings. In case that wasn't clear.
But, you know, there's a healthier way to do it. And you also have to remember that your partner has their own attachment style and it might be different from yours. So, like, for me, I would say I definitely have moved away from being so extremely anxiously attached, and I am moving toward more secure. But every now and then I have those feelings come up again, and I might ask my partner for reassurance. I might say, you know, I'm feeling this way. Like, I'm feeling like you're not really interested in spending time with me, for example. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a perfectly acceptable way to frame it when you're saying I am feeling this way, because it gives them, you're not attacking, and it gives them the opportunity to say, like, maybe they've just been busy. Oh, I'm sorry that you feel like that. I'm not ignoring you. I'm busy, or, you know, whatever it is, or, you know, I have different needs as far as time and, like, quality time. Well,
yeah, I actually
love languages.
Yes. I actually have a real-time example of that I can share, or like a personal example, not really real-time.
Okay.
But kind of one of those moments for me where I realized I was healing my own attachment style, where I realized I was kind of moving away from that place with somebody that I was talking to before I got together with my current partner, who I was really interested in. And who just, you know, great person, just had a lot of stuff going on, was navigating a separation, was navigating a co-parenting dynamic with the ex. And also we were getting into the holiday season. And what does all of that look like?
Yeah, it's a lot.
In all that. Mm-hmm. And of course, not going to see the facade crack. But I'm doing this, like, anxiety thought spiral in my head about things, and kind of just stop myself and talk myself down. It's like, okay, well, I know X, Y, and Z is going on in this person's life.
Right.
Like, and it's the holiday season. Everything is crazy right now. All of that. And I pretty much... like a day or so later, after I had kind of reframed my self-talk, talked myself down in this way, got a text from him saying pretty much exactly that, like, hey, sorry, I've kind of been MIA, like, things have been a shit show with the holidays, kids have a lot of extracurriculars going on, you know, things are not great with me and the ex because holidays are a rough time there, and kind of like all of the possible, logical, reasonable explanations that I had talked myself through were, in fact, the reality of the situation.
It's usually how it goes.
Without my spiraling, I don't even think I reached out before I got this. I think this text was, like, unprompted, and I had done some, like, more passive, just, like, sharing a meme through Instagram or something.
Actually, that's a really important point to make, I think, here. For those of us who are anxiously attached, to pause, and even if you're not able to in that moment pause and think rationally, pause, because afterwards, just taking a step away from it is going to help you to think more rationally if you give yourself some time. So I might, with my partner, I might just have an anxiety spiral, and instead of immediately texting about it or calling or whatever, I would put my phone down and walk away go and do something else and then go back to it when I realize that it either wasn't that big of a fucking deal or that that was my old attachment patterns.
Yeah, because you can choose that option or you can just sit there marinating in your own discomfort. There's not really a door number three with that situation.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so dismissive avoidant attachment. Mm-hmm. This one, we are going to talk about a couple called Alex and Sam. So whenever Sam tries to discuss their future or deepen their relationship, Alex tends to dodge the conversation or gives very vague, non-committal answers. It's clear that emotional closeness makes Alex uncomfortable, and they prefer to maintain an emotional distance.
I love that you included envies in here, by the way. Side note.
This can leave Sam feeling unsure and unloved about the relationship's future. So, like Alex, people with a dismissive avoidant attachment style often highly value their independence, sometimes to the point of coming off as emotionally distant in relationships, and they might struggle to open up and express their feelings and actually downplay the importance of close relationships because of their attachment style. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is this attitude of, so somebody in a session with this is somebody who's very like, you know, I really don't need anybody, or, you know, in a relationship. I've been in relationships with both anxious and avoidant, actually with all three types. I've had some secure partners too, which are best case scenario for me to be healthy in my own shit.
Right.
And I will veer kind of more the opposite way though if I'm with one of the other insecure attachment styles.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I will be more anxious with an avoidant, a dismissive avoidant partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, the last person I was with who fit that profile. Like, it drove me up a wall because, like, the biggest thing for me is, like, okay, I don't feel like I can really have a partner in you or be a partner to you.
Yes.
And because, you know, you're not letting me in. Like, you identify, like, I see you, I know you, I get you. Like, you identify so strongly as this, like, independent, like, hold shit down, I can figure everything out kind of person, and energetically, because like we're in this relationship, we have this connection, like I know that you're struggling. I know that something's off.
Right.
I don't know if it's something between us, and I may or may not be too proud to ask in any given moment.
Right.
Because I fluctuate with whether I'll bring it up or not.
Right.
And then it's like a week later, after the problem's resolved, is when maybe my partner would let me in on, this is what was actually going on with me.
Right.
Like, this is why I've been distant. This is why I've been weird. It's like, well, you could have fucking talked to me about it and let me be there for you. Like, I want to do that.
Right. But there are also people who just don't ever come back to it and tell you and just continue that pattern.
Yeah.
Like, basically just not being capable of, or I mean, I guess everybody, I can't say everybody, but you know what I mean. People mostly have the capacity. So it's not about being capable. There's more to it, but like these types typically will just really not want to talk about feelings. And they even struggle to show affection. Like it's like you said, cool as a cucumber on the outside.
Well, and they also, on the flip side, I can't remember if you had this specifically in here, they will have difficulty receiving affection from a partner a lot of the time too, where it's just like, and I've been that person too. I've told you the story early on with my current partner, like, who is, you know, very effusive about how great he thinks I am. And it's, you know, it's very sweet, but like early on, he had kind of like gone off on this whole tangent on the phone one night.
Yeah.
Like saying how great I was. And I like just curled up into a little ball, like as he was talking, like I just like knees into my chest, like full fetal. And then I was just like sitting there quiet when he was done. I'm like, hello. And I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable right now. Like I'm full fetal position on my couch right now.
Yeah.
That was sweet, but holy shit, stop. I don't know what the fuck to do with that.
Right, like, ah. It's almost like you recoil a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like, why are you being nice to me? Like, why are you being so nice? What do you want? That's weird.
Right, that. Like, what do you want?
Always looking for the catch, always looking for, like, somebody to have an agenda about it.
Well, like, because the reason that these types typically keep this wall up is because they've been burned in the past, and so they have this, well, fuck everyone, I can do everything by myself, I don't need anyone, I don't want anyone.
Trying to rely on people in the past has just proven that they are utterly disappointing and yes, cannot be relied on.
Yeah, exactly. And so as the partner of someone with this attachment style, this behavior would leave their partner feeling unsure, unloved, or dismissed. Mm-hmm. So it's important for dismissive avoidant people to know that emotional intimacy does not equate to a loss of self or vulnerability.
And vulnerability does not equate to weakness.
Yeah, that.
Vulnerability is actually one of the bravest fucking things that you can do.
Exactly. Yep. So that vulnerability, definitely not a bad thing. Emotionally, it's okay to be vulnerable. It can make you feel much closer with your partner, and that's what builds a stronger foundation for relationships in the first place, is that intimacy and vulnerability. Obviously, to work toward healing this, you would acknowledge that you have fears around relationships, mm-hmm, and then do this, the reflection, and figure out where that's coming from. And it might be really obvious. You might have had one very specific bad experience that left you feeling this way, but it might be more than that. And that's okay too. You might need some help with that.
Yeah.
But, again, to reiterate, the recognizing that emotional intimacy is you can't have a healthy relationship without that emotional intimacy.
Right. Yeah.
So even
emotional intimacy, emotional safety.
Yes.
And like connecting in that way, like you are depriving yourself and your partner of, I think, that most optimal connection that you could have.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
I think in this case, I know people with this attachment style, and I have actually said very plainly, just talk about what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're thinking is usually what you're feeling, and that's kind of how you start to open up emotionally and realize that it isn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I lean into in sessions a lot of the time, so it's interesting how you said the point earlier about a lot of dismissive avoidant types will not come back the way, mm-hmm, that my ex-partner did and tell, yeah, you what that thing was ever, potentially.
Because that's kind of a little bit healthier, at least.
Yeah, well, and I think it's like there's almost a spectrum of it. Like there, mm-hmm, are the people that are trying. So my dismissive avoidant partner that I'm using for this example was someone who was really trying to do the work. And that was even, you know, a conversation that we had later on when we decided to separate. It's like, you know, like,
right,
I see you trying. Like, you know, I've addressed this in arguments and stuff with us, and like I see you trying, I see you making this effort and like wanting to show up in this way, and I'm acknowledging that, but it's, you know, it, I think it's something also that doesn't feel natural and doesn't feel comfortable
right.
for you.
Right.
And, you know, that's where this disconnect is. And that was mm-hmm. kind of that like light bulb moment, I think, for both of us that mm-hmm. had us be able to separate in a really healthy way.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, that person has since continued their own healing, which is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of like, so people who have not started on that journey yet, though, like you said, like not even that they won't come back to it later and like let you in on it later because they're actively trying to shut you out or be shitty to you in some way. Like they literally are so closed off and so out of touch with their own emotions that they can't even access the vocabulary to express that.
Right.
In the
first place. Like to have, it's almost as if they're so focused on protecting themselves that they don't even recognize that their behavior is affecting the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Leaning into anger as the default emotion a lot of the time for the dismissive avoidance, because those vulnerable emotions are really fucking scary.
Fuck that.
Like that is like the monster under the bed.
Yeah.
So, but if I am angry and aggressive, that feels powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That feels better than dissolving into this puddle on the floor of this vulnerable emotion.
Right.
Breaking down and crying, God forbid.
Well, because then you're really actually pushing somebody away at that point too.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are acting out that pushing away instead mm-hmm. of just doing it internally. Then it's get the fuck away from me. Stay the fuck away from me. I'm being mean right now. So you can't hurt me because I'm going to hurt you first.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So now on to fearful avoidant, which we have talked about
a little bit. I'm the problem. It's me. I know you hate Taylor, but it's just such a great line.
It's just her. You know what? I think it's her fans. I think it's her fans more than her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to piss anybody off. I don't want to lose listeners because of this T-Swift thing. So moving on, we will talk about Mia and Ian. So Mia likes Ian and really wants to be close to him. But she is very afraid of getting too attached.
Yeah,
so,
and you can't know how much she likes him. Like, what the fuck? That's weakness. That's vulnerability. Like, I can't. Like, I'm going to play it cool. I'm Mia. I'm going to play it cool and aloof. And in my younger days, like, not only would Ian probably have no fucking idea that I liked him, like, by the time I got comfortable enough to be like, oh, maybe we should explore something, he would have been like, oh, I had no idea. Like, I kind of already moved on because I thought
like,
I was born into it.
Bye, bitch.
So that is the downside of, one of many downsides.
Right. So with this attachment style, it's that hot cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are these moments of you letting your guard down because you do really want to be close. And, mm-hmm. and so it's one extreme to the other. And
yeah, because you do it and then you spiral out in this like, oh fuck, did I just completely turn them off? I definitely said too much, wall back up and battened on those hatches for good measure.
Or, would you say, because this is actually something coming up now just as I'm thinking about it, would that vulnerability just make them uncomfortable and then they kind of recoil back into themselves too?
I mean, that too, I feel like, I feel like that's a little bit more kind of what I was experiencing when I went full fetal on my couch.
Right. Yeah.
Getting compliments from my partner.
Yeah.
So it's similar to there's the discomfort with being emotionally vulnerable, and there's discomfort with receiving those intense emotional expressions from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it kind of, so there's the recoil of what are you doing? That makes me uncomfortable when somebody else is telling us how great we are.
Right.
And then if we've let our guard down, kind of going through that anxiety spiral, morning after, fuck, what did I do?
Right. Yeah.
Now they know everything. Now I am completely vulnerable and exposed and open to being hurt in the situation, which is the common thread through
so
all of this.
I actually have a question, because the fearful and dismissive, there are overlaps.
Yeah.
So what's the primary difference between those two attachment styles?
So I feel like if you took the three insecure attachment types, and this is my experience of it. So fearful, avoidant / disorganized. Disorganized is what we call it when it's developing in childhood. So that's why they get kind of used interchangeably.
Okay.
And it's almost, if we were to take all three insecure patterns,
mm-hmm.
and put them into a Venn diagram, that fearful avoidant would be right in the middle, because it actually has those overlaps with both.
Okay.
So there's one extreme, the other extreme, and then flip-flopping between the two extremes depending on what we're experiencing, where the discomfort is, because all of it makes us fucking uncomfortable, kind of.
Right, yeah. So you want that as a fearful avoidant person, you really want that connection. As opposed to the dismissive, who is no, fuck that.
Yeah, the dismissive is I don't need anybody. Mm-hmm. The fearful avoidant disorganized is more yeah, that sounds really nice. That sounds amazing on paper. That sounds like a great theory.
But.
And in practice, people are unreliable. People are going to let me down. I am not holding my breath for that to be real, because unicorns sound fucking great too, and I don't believe that those.
Right. Yeah, it's like that sounds nice, but no thanks.
It sounds nice, but I don't think it's actually a thing. I think that is something in the realm of Santa and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy.
All right. So with that, obviously that kind of attachment would leave your partner feeling what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, because it's so mixed messagey.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like me or you can't stand me.
Right.
Because it depends on the day. And, when we're not aware of our stuff, when we're in it,
mm-hmm.
honestly, the same thing as the dismissive avoidant, who can't kind of come back and have that perspective of this is what happened. All they're aware of is okay, cool, the problem's over with it. I don't have to think about this anymore.
Right.
So with this, we can't express it either, because we give ourselves these mixed messages a little bit too,
mm-hmm.
where it's sometimes I'm all about this person, and sometimes I'm trying so hard to talk myself out of them because I don't want to be vulnerable, and I am nitpicking every little quirk that they have.
Right. So with this, as with the other two, there is a silver lining, because if you can recognize this about yourself, then you're already moving in the direction of healthier relationships. And obviously it's okay to want to be close to people, and it's also okay to be afraid. And I think that goes for along the spectrum of the attachment styles. So I think that with all three of these insecure attachment styles, the mindfulness and emotional regulation is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So in this instance, if you feel like pushing your partner away, you take a moment and you're like, I've already been close to this person and they have reciprocated that, and it's okay. It's not that bad.
Mm-hmm. At least for myself, I found like workarounds that feel more comfortable, right? Where like I am communicating it, but I'm communicating it in a way that feels safe to me.
Mm-hmm.
So like acknowledging kind of like my weird shit that comes up with my partner. Yeah. I think I may have shared even on our last crossover this story of like noticing when we were out at the Van Gogh exhibit that I was sitting with my hands folded like one on top of the other in my lap like this, and like looked down and just started like laughing at myself and elbowed him like,
wait, like this. For anybody who is just listening, she's holding her own hands.
I'm holding my own hand. Yeah, like so one hand on the other folded in my lap, like fingers interlocked.
Yeah.
And like, and saying to him, like, you want to see my disorganized attachment at work? Like, you can't even hold my hand. I'm going to do it myself.
I'm going to hold my own hand.
I can hold my own hand, my style. So that, and then also one of the other, like, big annoying things with the way that, I guess, the more anxious part of mine manifests is the amount of recovery time that I need after a disagreement with a partner, after a misunderstanding, that is feeding into the like, there, see, I fucking knew it. This is why I don't date. This is why I don't do this. Like, even though I want it, it's a lovely little cotton candy fantasy that is not rooted in anything real.
Yeah.
And here is my proof. And so because I'm feeding into all of that, just because we've like had an argument about something like probably relatively minor in the grand scheme of life, it can be like, it feels so destabilizing.
Yeah. I mean, and I can relate to that too.
Yeah, because that's the anxious piece. So
in a different way, because yeah. For me, it's, oh my God, they've like all of my fears are being validated as far as like, oh my God, they really don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the stuff. So where yeah. you're like, fuck everybody, see, I was right. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And the shit of it is, like, if we are, because everything is like where you put your attention, like that whole idea of like when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So if you are looking for things to validate your fears, if you are looking for reasons to feel hurt and unloved and all of these other things, like, you're gonna find them.
It's like true.
Like you're gonna find them slash like invent them out of something that could probably be explained if you just took that pause, if you just took that beat.
Yeah. The pause is so important.
And yeah, so for me, just kind of acknowledging, and I don't No, I did it with my last two relationships. And I don't know that I actually had the vocabulary to share it before this.
Mm-hmm.
But where I would say, like, look, we've hashed out this disagreement. You've apologized. I've accepted your apology. Like, I'm not upset with you.
Yeah.
But I'm just not back at 100 yet because I have this annoyingly long recalibration time. It sucks for me too.
Yeah.
But just like, kind of like, know that we're good. I'm gonna just need a minute, and I might be like a little bit standoffish during that time.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Like, I might say, yeah, like I'm not mad. I'm not upset or whatever, but I still need time to recover from this. Like,
yeah, like
even it's though not just like, we're okay.
Yeah, you said sorry, everything's good. Everything is.
Yeah, it's not like it just magically goes away.
Yeah.
So, all right. Finally. The gold standard of attachment styles.
Gold
what
standard.
We hope for all of us to work toward is the secure attachment.
Yes. And so these are, so these are people who, you know, had like these idyllic, like picture perfect little kind of upbringings probably. And even if they didn't, they received enough support, enough love, all of that, like enough validation in validation. Who they were in their families of origin from their caregivers, that like even the things that maybe weren't so great, because everybody has some kind of struggles in their life at some point.
Yeah, right, exactly. Nobody's
but they're able to approach that from a more objective perspective and take it as a learning experience.
Right. Yeah. It's much easier for securely attached people to trust other people, and they don't go to the anxious, the avoidant, or
they don't think everybody has an agenda, and they don't think that somebody automatically hates them because the nuance of their tone changed a little bit because they were distracted doing something else.
Exactly. So it's also not so much exclusively how you interact with other people, but it's also how you view yourself, like knowing your worth and knowing that you do deserve love, and that you are able to rely on people, and you basically just bring like that this really stable balance of good vibes to any relationship because of that. And I think that like that's what we all strive for, right? And I can say for myself, I have been in a situation where I've been like, so I know that I've moved away from anxious in a lot of ways, specifically because I have been like, hold up, I deserve more than this. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what I bring to the fucking table.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing.
If you forget, I'm around to beat that shit into your brain.
Always, always.
Always, I got you.
She's like the best hype woman ever.
Andrew.
All right, so in this hypothetical, we have Matt and June. They've been together for 6 months, and their relationship is basically a masterclass in communication and trust. June has to travel for a week-long business trip, and Matt is just totally cool with it because, of course, they will miss each other, but there's no stressing about what's going to happen to their relationship because of being apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they just accept that this is life, and she goes and does her work thing and he does his, and they know that they're going to pick right back up where they left off because they both feel secure, not just in their partners, but in themselves.
Yeah. And also like they have the perspective probably of like, you know, we're grown-ups, it's a week.
Right.
Like a week is not that long in the grand scheme of life. Like I remember like a girlfriend who was like going to see her dad who like lived out of state for a long weekend or something. And we were like late teens, like we were babies. Mm-hmm. And she was like, it's 5 whole days. I'm not going to get to see you. I'm going to miss you. I can't kiss you for 5 days. It was like this whole dramatic thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can appreciate the sentiment of like, but instead of being like, oh my gosh, I can't, or like whatever, it's more like, yeah, dude, I'm going to miss you. I can't wait to come back. Like, you're just kind of chill about it.
I'm like, I can't wait to have a chance to miss you if I see you all the time.
Right.
Like not because I hate you, not because I'm mad at you, not because like, yeah, I'm sick of you or anything, but it's just like, yeah, like I see you all the time. I'm pumped for you to be a novelty again.
Right. Yeah. It just feels nice. All right. So when conflict rolls around, they just kind of roll with it. There's no running for the hills. They just talk it out because every relationship has conflict. There is no such thing as a conflict-free relationship unless you're not actually in a relationship. So
they talk about it. If you have a very clearly defined friends with benefits situation, which I have had a couple of times in my life.
But even then, I feel like it's an interpersonal relationship. There's no, in my opinion, there's just no such fucking thing as not having any conflict whatsoever in any relationship ever. It's just when you're close to people, I just feel like the odds are very slim that you are not going to have hiccups.
Yeah, they're slim.
It's not like full-blown conflict, right?
I've had two. One I've known for 15 years.
Okay.
And we were like a friends with benefits scenario kind of on and off for about 5 to 7-ish of those 15 years.
Okay.
And I don't think we have ever in the entire 15 years of knowing each other had an argument about anything.
Yeah.
Like, that is, you know, it's rare. But just, like, well, because we were very, like, upfront, this is what this is, this is what this isn't.
That's a secure attachment, though. Yeah. In that situation.
Yeah, I wasn't securely attached in any of my actual relationships during those 5 to 7 years. But, like, my friend with benefits and I had that shit on lock.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting because, like, I think about my friendships, and yeah, like I don't, there aren't these big conflicts because for the most part we're adults and we just kind of talk about shit. Like,
yeah,
it's so important in any relationship, but obviously when we're talking about romantic relationships, intimate relationships, you just approach things with the perspective of, hey, I am feeling this way and I'm not mad and I'm not trying to argue, which stealing that from somebody, borrowing it from somebody. But like, that's great because that's saying, listen, like, I need to get this off my chest. This is something that bothered me, but I want you to know that this is not a deal breaker. This is not something that's going to cause an argument. I just want to, like, talk this out with you.
Yeah. The securely attached partner is holy grail for those of us with an insecure style, because if we're anxious, they're going to be patient enough to validate us.
Yes. Like,
if we're avoidant, they're going to be secure enough in themselves to, like, do their thing and give us our space to breathe so that we don't feel smothered.
Right.
So this is, yeah, like, this is goals. And this is something that can be really, really helpful.
Yeah.
In the healing process for someone with a more insecure pattern.
Well, and I also think that it's important to highlight, because we talked about all of these different separate attachment styles, right? We talked about how the one is kind of an overlap, but just because you, like, for me, I am primarily anxiously attached now, especially because I'm working on things, I'm more securely attached, but there are still some behaviors of mine that can be more avoidant, and that doesn't mean that I'm not still, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm, like, right in the middle there either. It just means that you don't have to define it necessarily. Like, there, it's just really important to recognize that your, whatever your attachment issues are not healthy, and to understand why they're not healthy, so that you can work toward having more secure relationships and more stable relationships. Because I think that that's really what it is. It's like that, making it a safe place to talk about things, like with, I'm not mad and I'm not trying to argue, for example. That's a really, or same team is something same that I brought team, up in a previous episode. Like, setting the foundation to be like, we're doing this together. This isn't me against you.
So many couples since you dropped that episode too.
Well, shout out to Amy, the life coach, because she's the one who I borrowed that from. So I want to make sure I give her credit.
Yeah.
So it's Amy, the life coach, one word on Instagram. Yeah. She has really great content.
Especially, I want to give her credit since I use that a lot.
Yeah.
I heard you talk
about it. I feel like it's just really good for anybody who's working on healing to have access to that kind of content too, because it not only is it just helpful to know, but it's also normalizing it too, where it's like, oh, other people go through that too. Other people feel that way too. Like for me, that has been a huge way for me to work on my self-worth, for example, or even just my attachment, to know like, oh, okay, so this is not unique to me. This isn't just me being crazy. This isn't just like, there's a reason behind it. And I can do better. And it's not even just about doing better for your partner necessarily, like, or your relationship. It's really about you and doing better for yourself. Because mm-hmm. if you're not being like, I can be bitchy sometimes. I feel like we can all be bitchy sometimes.
Sure.
Everybody fucks up and is shitty sometimes. It just the way it is.
Yeah. Because we all act out of our own unhealed stuff sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
And it comes out sideways on whoever's in that line of fire.
Yeah. So
like, it doesn't make us bad people. Like, it makes us human.
Exactly. And in my situation, I would say like, oh shit, I realized that I was shitty. But instead of going the anxious spiral of, oh my God, now my relationship is in jeopardy, blah, 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 it's just telling my partner, hey, I'm sorry that I did that. That wasn't cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be more conscious of that. Like, mm-hmm. that's not who I want to be, and that's not how I want to treat you.
Yeah. I remember like very clearly having that moment of, because this is, I don't know if this is specific necessarily to any attachment style as much as it is kind of almost like just like a social generational thing that I think happens. This whole idea of, oh, ball busting is my love language, and like I show that I love you by making fun of you, which can veer too easily sometimes into the territory of active cruelty. Oh, there was one thing though that I did want to ask, mm-hmm. to do another little compare and contrast.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're saying that like you veer more avoidant, I'm curious like when and how that presents. Because something that really just kind of jumped out at me as you were explaining the last, the Matt and June, nobody's running for the hills when there's a disagreement, like, mm-hmm. that is my go-to, like, all right, fuck this, I'm out.
So for me, yeah, there are definitely times when I am fuck this, I'm out, like, that.
Okay, what does it take you to say that? Does it take just, like, an argument over?
No.
Like, so I will do it with like, if we're like bickering and we can't resolve a disagreement about something stupid,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, this is exhausting. I don't want to do it anymore. Bye.
Okay. Yeah. No.
So if for you, it's because you are healing and setting a boundary and not being the bending over backwards, like anxiously attached people pleaser
part
of yourself. It's, I think, kind of trying to find that sweet spot and that balance.
Yes, exactly. I would say
attached place.
That almost going too far to the other extreme, because I am trying to find that sweet spot, like you said, where it's like, oh no, nope, get the fuck away from me. Mm-hmm. Not doing this. We're not doing this. And like going to that. I mean, I one of my more recent relationships, I did go to that sometimes because I was being triggered, and there were things that I was like, oh, that's a red flag, and they were real red flags.
Yeah.
But I also immediately went to fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah.
And so I think that in a situation where you have somebody who's not in the same place as you as far as their healing journey, I guess with a securely attached person, there's not really any healing as far as that goes. But like, you're either with somebody who is securely attached or with somebody who is really working on their shit. Otherwise, you can't heal. You can't heal in a situation like that. Like, for me, I know that I have been able to heal because of having a sense of security and having someone say to me, we're okay.
Yeah.
And like, I care about you. I want to be with you. Like, those things, instead of me feeling like, do they like me? Do they want to be with me? Like,
yeah. So like, for me, like, if I'm just like, okay, we have our wires crossed, like trying to resolve this issue and it's frustrating and I go, fuck this, I'm out. Because I just don't want to deal with the frustration of that anymore.
Right.
That is different than, you know, like, a securely attached person can respond with, fuck this, I'm out. Because if somebody is actively mistreating you in some way, that is an appropriate response.
Right.
To say, like, no.
No, I'm not tolerating
fuck this. I know my worth and I choose me.
Yeah. Like, bitch, I know what I'm bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
With that, how do you identify your attachment style? We have looked at everything. We've kind of unpacked it, given some examples, talked about things that you can do. So that really takes spending time looking inward at yourself and doing that shadow work, I like to call it, where you're like, okay, I am the problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Taylor Swift and Carl Jung overlap. Who would have thought? No. It's great when we're not drunk. So I was looking at in your notes, your section of how therapy can help.
Mm-hmm.
With it too. So yeah, more things to come. So what I'm about to talk about is excerpted from the work in progress, relationship and dating rehab workbook and workshop that we will be hosting.
Yes.
We're aiming for October because prime cupping season.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, that is a little taste of what we both bring to the table, which, like, we both know and own is a lot. and kind of how we complement each other in that.
Yes.
So I'll be bringing the clinical expertise. Tara will be bringing kind of like the less jaded sort of I wrote it in your, like, my testimonial for your dating coaching thing, like, that you have been through some of the shit that I know you've been through in your personal life and still see the good in people the way that you do and are not jaded or bitter by any of it is, like, such a beautiful perspective and, like, why, like, you're going to be just, like, the most top tier choice for somebody who is looking for relationship and dating coaching and why you are the person that I want to collaborate with me.
Well, because I think that, like you said, you do bring that clinical expertise. And for me, like, at the same time, you're also, like, my best friend. And so we do have this rapport with each other that I feel like we're always on the same page.
Yeah. Working on the same stuff, like, separately.
In parallel, not even realizing it. And that's actually how this collaboration for this episode happened.
And, like, dressing alike and shit even. Like, it's just weird. Or, like, the text messages.
I know.
Like, we need to stop doing that. I'll be responding to your text. And then, like, you'll send a follow-up answering what I'm in the process of typing. It's like, dude, get out of my head.
Yeah, exactly. So back to this.
So
I am more of like, keep it real. I am the, I guess I'm a little bit more touchy-feely, like, yeah, not physically, but like I do have that, like, a different level of intimacy because I am not a therapist who has to abide, yeah, by a certain code of ethics. So I, yeah, can do.
And I am still very, like, irreverent and tell it like is in my, yeah, presentation. Like, mm-hmm, I will never ever, like, I want to have a meaningful conversation.
Well, that's why we work so well together, yeah, because we do compliment each other in that,
yeah,
way.
But like, you know, like, you're going to, I think, be like velvet glove to my iron fist with some of this.
Yes. This is what we're doing. This, yeah, is, we are teaming up. We both are, we have our own separate businesses. However, they are not completely separate because there is overlap. And so we're going to be working together a lot with different workshops. This is just our first, mm-hmm, official collaboration.
I have the second one percolating in my brain already.
Oh, shocker.
I already know what's coming for round two after I finish round one. So the idea for round one, two is, I have this workshop, release date and where to buy and all of that is going to be dropping soon, on at Out Is Through Podcast, Instagram, TikTok, probably. I still can't really figure out TikTok, so go to Instagram for all those needs. And it can be standalone. You can get stuff out of it standalone. I've set it up this way for people who maybe don't have the ability to make the financial or time commitment to a full workshop.
Right, yeah.
But
or a full coaching program, et cetera. So,
right,
yeah,
right. However, if you do, that is where you're going to get the extra, where you're going to get the interactive experiences with both a licensed therapist and a dating coach.
Yeah.
And
it's much more personalized.
It's more personalized, and you're going to get that collaboration with other people kind of struggling with their own relationship stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So I am pumped for this. Like, this is going to be so good.
I know. I'm excited.
So, how
do we help people out? What do we do? Because this is really the whole point of this is to talk about, like, all right, we've both expressed that we have had and are working toward more secure attachment ourselves,
mm-hmm,
and identified what our attachment styles primarily are. And so how are we going to help people? What does that look like?
So what is that? So it's a three-step process. So I'm very big on, because I think we didn't disclose it here. I think we've disclosed both in our Drunken Girls Night collab and separately on our individual podcasts that we both have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that is super, super helpful for managing any of the executive functioning challenges there is simplifying and streamlining. But honestly, whether or not you have ADHD, simplifying and streamlining the process for anything that feels super daunting and overwhelming is paramount. So this is a three-step process. We're going to obviously be talking about more than just like three little basic points for a whole workshop and what I'm covering in this workbook.
Right.
But most of them are subheadings under these three categories. So we are identifying those unhelpful patterns, which comes through conversation about like, okay, which one of these attachment styles do I relate to? Why? Where does that come from? Because they show up with our, like, through our past experiences,
yes,
whether, you know, we felt emotionally abandoned or neglected by our caregivers growing up, if they were dismissive or invalidating of our feelings and emotions during those important formative years.
Or overly critical.
Yeah. So all of that kind of impacts how our attachment style develops.
Right.
Holy shit. Impacts our ability.
I didn't get that thunder yet. I wonder if I'm going to get it.
There it is.
So weird. Okay. We got to wrap this up because we're going to have a lot of thunder.
Impacts our ability to connect to our authentic self, to like really be in touch with our emotions and be able to express and explain them clearly to other people.
Yes.
So this three-step process, we're going to deconstruct that. We're going to cultivate self-love, and then we are going to define our non-negotiables and our ideal partner profile.
Mm-hmm.
For like, what do we see as vision of this ideal future relationship that we have processed through our shit enough and gotten secure enough to know is actually real and possible and not in the same vein of Santa and the Tooth Fairy and all that.
With that, it's important that you have these like must-haves and deal breakers.
Yes.
Like, you need to be able to identify and define those two things. That's really, really important.
Yeah. Non-negotiables are like a do's and don'ts. Like, you need both.
Yep.
Like I will not tolerate anybody name calling or
I mean, for me,
emotional jugular in a disagreement.
For me, I can say this just because I've spoken about like my trauma. One of my non-negotiables is I cannot, will not be in a relationship with somebody who is actively abusing a substance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone who is in recovery might be a different story, but I don't have to deal with that right now in my current situation, so I don't know. But like, that was a deal breaker for me. I know that somebody that I am dating is, whether it's alcohol or any drugs, even like too much smoking weed can be a problem, as far as like functioning and like living if you're dependent upon it. So that was that little
side.
Just to give an example of something else, like, that's a hard no for me.
Yeah. So these are the things that like are total deal breakers. These are the things that I am actively looking for. So somebody who shares my values on certain things.
Right. Somebody who values family, and wants to have those like very close familial relationships, for example, or somebody who is really ambitious and wants to work towards something more and build a future together. Like, those are also my non-negotiables. So.
Yeah. Somebody who demonstrates high emotional intelligence and can show up and can have these conversations. It's just, you know, I think I have that even though certain things make me uncomfortable. It's like, I can own like, oh my God, I'm so uncomfortable right now, but that was nice.
Yeah, exactly. To be able to kind of sit in that discomfort, that's really important. And in my case, sometimes it's okay, I am having a really bad feeling and I might be feeling rejected or whatever. And I mean, we just had a conversation about that and how I handled it. I think I handled it in a more healthy way than I normally would have.
Oh, yeah. And, like, dude, I was so proud of you. I was legit like, how that whole scenario played out was just like night and day, start to finish, from how it would have been even just a couple months ago, which is a testament to you doing your work, you owning your worth. I love that for you so much. So with healing from that anxious attachment, then getting clear on that stuff where, you know, you're no longer falling into these patterns of, you know, not really being able to express or explain why you are so quickly invested in this brand new person who you actually don't really know yet, which happens a lot. And, you know, if
I've been there.
Yeah. And if you press somebody for details, I actually tested you on this. And you had your details, like you knew exactly what they were.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, a lot of clients, friends who have this anxious attachment style and are not as in touch with themselves and, you know, clear on their why with it the way that you were.
Yeah.
We'll just be like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what it is about them. We just have this connection. Yeah. Like, it's this very vague, like,
yeah. Like, oh, it's just, I feel, it's just a feeling. Like, I can't really put my finger on it.
Like, I can't explain it. It's just like, it's this intense connection. And I just see all this potential of what we could be.
Whereas with me, it was like, no, I have a list.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I love this, 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 and this about my partner. Like, these things are all amazing. And they are concrete. They are solid examples. They are, you know, and I know your partner, like some of them are things that I could be like, oh yeah, like I have seen that as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like having met this person.
Yeah.
And yeah, so things like that. And when you're attached to this idea of somebody rather than the reality of them, that's when we fall into, okay, now I'm bending over backwards. Now I'm compromising on these non-negotiables.
Yeah.
And I am fighting to make this relationship work at the expense of my own mental health, emotional stability, sanity, like all of the things.
Like
I am setting myself on fire to keep someone else warm.
Exactly. Totally. I mean, I've been there very, very recently where there were non-negotiables and I was like, but, and it's like, do that. If it's a non-negotiable, it's a fucking non-negotiable. Do yourself the favor. It's not even about like, oh, just like abide by the rules. It's like, no, you're doing it for them too, but like do it for yourself and value yourself enough to like say, you know what, this is not healthy for me.
I forget if it was Brandy or Monica, but one of them had a song that like came out when we were little, almost.
Man, I'm just thinking of that, the boy is mine.
Oh, but yeah, not the boy is mine. I'm like, but almost doesn't count. This is like a more deep cut.
Oh yeah. That's Brandy.
That's Brandy, right? Yeah. Can't keep on loving you 1 foot outside the door. Right, I feel funny hesitation of the heart that's never really sure. Can't keep trying if you're not looking for more than all that I can give you and what you came here for. Like, and just knowing like that almost, like you are worth more than that almost. Like you wouldn't accept almost for somebody that you love. Why are you accepting it for yourself?
Exactly.
Like I have said this to two anxiously attached friends, not Tara, but two anxiously attached friends who are like sharing something with me really terrible that this toxic person that they're so attached to did to them. And I literally was like, what would you do if I came to you and I told you Steve had done that to me?
Right. Yes.
And the response I got, like, didn't even have to think about it. Like, didn't miss a beat. Like, I'd be like, where does he live? I'm kicking his ass. Cool. Like, if you love me that much, why don't you love yourself that much?
Yeah.
Like,
it's
why?
True.
So yeah. So kind of recognizing all of that, getting clear on the why of it. This is how we move from the anxious attachment to the more secure place. Dismissive avoidance. They're still vaguing it up, but it's just showing up differently.
Yeah.
Because they're so often out of touch with their feelings that they can't express them. They can't verbalize them. Like they're not actively trying to shut you out. Like I said before, they just don't have the vocabulary for it beyond like, I don't know, this just doesn't feel right. And I feel bad. So I have to just kind of distance myself. But like, also I don't know how to explain it to my partner. Yeah. So I'm just going to like, pull away.
Yeah. So this is actually something that I've seen a couple of memes pop up about, where I think that there's this toxic idea of their effort shows how much they care. That's not true because you're not holding into consideration that there are these different attachment styles and that your partner might be a more avoidant attached person or combined type and be struggling with how to accept love, how to open up, how to commit in the first place. Like all of those things don't mean that they don't care about you and don't want to be with you. It's just that they're struggling with their own stuff. And so I think that that's really important to point out, because I keep seeing these memes pop up about, well, if they
wanted to, they would. Like, okay, so I need to find this because you will absolutely, I'm pretty sure you'll know who she is when I send it to you.
Yeah.
You will love Sabrina. She does, like, she's done so many things recently, like little duet TikTok things with people doing the, like, if he wanted to, he would. And she's like, nope, this is bullshit. Here's why. And you're going to be really unhappy in playing games if you keep operating in this mindset.
Exactly.
Because it's
toxic.
It's toxic and, you know, it's disempowering. It makes you feel like shit.
Well, yeah, because then it's like, well, it puts you almost as like, well, why doesn't this person care about me then?
Yeah,
like,
why am I not enough? It feeds into all of that insecurity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, you know, if we're looking for those reasons to feel insecure and feel anxious and feel shitty and feel bad about ourselves, like, it's not hard to find them.
Right, exactly. I know.
Like, yeah.
All right, so I think that what we have covered here, we've covered a lot of ground here. And I think that we've given kind of a taste of what we are working on and what we are going to be offering people who want to come to the workshop or who want to see you as a therapist, for example, or want to see me as a coach or get into
packs.
Because we have combo packages where we're working together. Mm-hmm. So, in my case, like I have a bunch of packages on my website, but I'm flexible. She's flexible. Just because it's not up on the website doesn't mean we won't work with you. Just like reach out and we can kind of figure out something that does work for you.
Yeah. And reach out to either of us, honestly.
Yeah. Because if I see that something is beyond my level of expertise, I'm not going to bullshit. I am not going to pretend like I know, because I am a student right now. And so while I am studying psychology, I am not a practicing counselor, therapist, because I don't have those qualifications. I don't have that training. So that's where I would refer somebody to you, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's outside of my area of expertise, basically.
Yeah,
so.
But I think the infusion blend of both of us is going to be, you know, it'll be its own special thing that you are not going to get in the same way.
Yeah.
Like, with, because therapy session is going to be very different. Or coaching session by itself is going to be very different. But, like, incorporating all of that for like that full complete that's gonna be so dope.
So like Kristen will have those therapy sessions, I will have separate sessions for coaching, but with the coaching it's more about that, like almost hand holding, like a little bit, like it's much more like I am the one kind of supporting you all along every single step of the way in more detail, right? Like I'm having trouble being articulate today.
Mm-hmm. Words are hard. Whereas I am hands-on as a therapist. I, you know, like I said before, I want a meaningful conversation with my clients. I'm not going to be like, that's interesting. How does that make you feel? Like, no, fuck that. That's lazy.
Yeah.
But So I will give you insights. I will give you feedback on the stuff that you're struggling with, and I'll reflect some perspectives back to you on what you've shared, but it isn't quite like the same kind of hand-holding, advice-giving sort of dynamic. And right. Every now and then, even though like you are getting stuff from me that feels like advice, I just said this to one of my clients earlier this week, who I've been, she's great, I've been working with her for a while, and like she had asked me something, and she's like, is that bad? Does that mean something? And I was like, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? And she just kind of went to me. I'm like, I know that was a real annoying therapist-y answer.
It's true, though. Like,
as a therapist. Because, and I'm not going to just, you know, leave you to sit there and stew in it either, because I did immediately follow that up with, like, well, you're asking for a reason.
Right. Well, like, and you can ask
there
other questions to kind of, because really, I think that with a therapist, it's about, as somebody who goes to therapy, for example, my therapist doesn't tell me, oh, you should do this. It's more like, well, if you're in this situation and you're feeling this way, you need to do what you feel is right. What are you feeling
mm-hmm.
is right? And like kind of pulling it out of you, mm-hmm. right? Where I might actually say, like, well, let's try this, let's do this. And like, so that's where I think that we differ.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you like what to wear and how to do your fucking hair if you want, how to do makeup. I'll teach you about skincare. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go all the fuck out.
Oh my God, the skincare. Like, I picked her brain for a client of mine and she rattled off like 4 options like that.
Well, I have experience in the manufacture of skincare and cosmetics. So, like in the development of them. And so mm-hmm. that is an area of expertise that I've got down pat. So
yes.
Do we have anything else that we want to leave people with? I know we just kind of like did this whole sales pitch thing, but really what it boils down to is we're not trying to say like, oh, you have to do this with us even. If you don't feel like we're the people, we're just telling you that there are people out there who do what we do as well. And that like it's really important for you to know that, because you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah. We don't have the market cornered. Also, if you don't live in the state of New Jersey, unfortunately, you can't come to therapy with me because I'm currently only licensed to practice in the state of New Jersey.
But Kristen can help you find a therapist and point you in the finding a therapist. So.
I can absolutely point you in the right direction.
And I know other coaches too. So
yeah.
if what I offer is not what you're looking for, I may be able to refer you to somebody else too. So that's also really important for you to know. Like, it's really about like investing in yourself. I think that that's really what it boils down to, and mm-hmm. investing in your mental and emotional well-being, because at the end of the day, we talk about relationships a lot. We talk about relationships a lot because your intimate relationships are the ones that have the greatest impact on your mental health mm-hmm. and your emotional and mental well-being. Like, that's why it's so important for us to talk about it and why we talk about it all the time.
Yeah. And granted, relationships is one of my personal areas of expertise in therapy and in the work that I do. But even if it wasn't, 100% of clients at some point are going to come in and talk to me about their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
A fair percentage of mine, it is every session. Like, they're, you know, with the specific things that they're working through.
I mean, I'm thinking back about, you know, most of my therapy sessions are usually, I mean, now it's about, because, you know, I'm a mom. And so I do talk about parenting issues and family issues. But like, I have historically talked a lot about my relationships, not necessarily just my current one, but like.
Yeah. But I mean, parenting parenting and family, also relationships, right? That's, you know, it's another thing that we'll delve deeper into in the workbook, in the workshop, in the coaching and counseling sessions too, is attachment styles. You know, they develop in those families of origin. Like, they develop in those relationships with our caregivers. They're our first role models.
Right.
And they also impact other areas of our adult lives besides our relationships.
Totally.
Like, you know, so anxiously attached, like my more anxious side comes out at work, where it's just like, I get like a ping from the boss. Well, not anymore, because now I work for me.
Yeah.
But in the past, it's like, I'd get like a message from my boss, like, oh shit, I'm in trouble, I'm going to get fired.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I'm getting called to the principal's office and my anxiety's through the roof. And that, you know, a lot of people probably have that response and can see kind of how everything is interconnected with, you know, like, if I have, like, my partner has this change of tone, I assume they're mad at me. If my boss wants to see me, I assume I'm in trouble. If my friend's not texting back, I think I did something to piss her off.
Right.
Things like that.
So it
informs everything.
It's ideal in all relationships. Because it's not just about your attachment style necessarily. It's about that self-love, that self-worth. Like, you know, it all kind of, everything's interconnected is what I mean to say.
Yes.
All right. Well, on that note, I think that we can wrap up.
I think so.
This was so much better than the last time. I hope that our viewers and listeners feel the same way.
I knew we could be more structured. We tried real hard.
Well, yeah, we did put a lot of work into it, because that's just, you know, like I said, we were doing this in parallel, and it was just like,
and zero tangents about serial killers.
Ugh. We're gonna talk about, I was gonna do it, but I'm not gonna. And that wraps up our special crossover episode of Tea Time with Tara and the Out Is Through podcast. A huge thank you to my incredible friend, Kristen, who provided her invaluable insights and all of the candid shares. I really hope that our heart to heart has added some wisdom to your cup of life, and that you are walking away with a deeper understanding of your own attachment style and how it shapes your relationships. As always, keep learning, keep growing, and let's continue changing the world one conversation at a time. Until next time on Tea Time with Tara, keep steeping in self-reflection and stay beautiful. Goodbye.